Edge Radio On Demand is made possible by Profile Coffee, located at 15 Portwalk Place in downtown Portsmouth, and online at ProfileCoffeeBar.com. Rediscover coffee at Profile Coffee.
This is Sally Johnson. You're listening to TV, Movies, and More. So I want to start this week off with a bit of a note, and it's kind of an optimistic note. So there's been something fascinating happening this summer so far for Hollywood. There's typically two sides to the discussion about blockbuster season, quote unquote blockbuster season. There's people who see it as kind of a necessary evil. You know, it makes Hollywood a lot of money. And there's those who genuinely enjoy it and enjoy the bigger forms of cinema and kind of the escapism that comes with it. I generally fall somewhere in the middle. As anybody who's listened to this, you know I'm a huge Marvel fangirl. I love superhero movies. I love superhero movies when they're done well, so I certainly am never complaining about seeing them in theaters. However, this summer has been different than the last few, whereas the quality overall has been wonderful start to finish. Aside from, of course, a few duds, such as another Pirates movie, another Transformers movie, which nobody really wanted. But this summer, we've seen some of the best superhero films Marvel and DC have to offer, with Wonder Woman, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We've had artistically inclined big-budget movies with Matt Reeves' War for the Planet of the Apes, Edgar Wright's Baby Driver, and Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk. And then, if you wanted a break with something more quote-unquote prestige, you could go see Ghost Story, The Beguiled, or The Big Sick. All of that said, if you, like me, are feeling personally, or, I mean, get rid of that part. All of that to say is that if you, like me, are feeling personally attacked by the sheer existence of the Emoji Movie, rest well and know that if you're dragged to see it by kids who are really eager to, you can just go and rewatch one of those other movies to kind of cleanse the palate, so to speak. I'm not going to see the Emoji Movie. I have no interest. I think it looks like garbage. I think the marketing of it has been obnoxious and dumb. And yeah, so if your kids want to see it, maybe be like, Spider-Man Homecoming is out. Let's just go see that for a fourth time. Because why waste your money? In other news this week for big releases, there is Atomic Blonde starring Charlize Theron. It focuses on Agent Lorraine Brockton, who is equal parts spycraft, sensuality, and savagery, willing to deploy any of her skills to stay alive on any impossible mission. Sent alone into Berlin to retrieve a priceless dossier from within the destabilized city, she partners with a station chief, David Percival, played by James McAvoy, to navigate her way through a deadly game of spies. The big news with this film is that Charlize Theron did most of her own stunts, and she's become something of an action heroine with this in Mad Max Fury Road. And it's nice to see a female lead getting the John Wick treatment, or the Keanu Reeves John Wick treatment, where she's allowed to just be able to kick butt and be kind of her own singular hero. Singular action hero, and I think that's really exciting, and I think it looks wonderful. I haven't gotten the chance to see it yet, and I am going to be one of the first people to see it this weekend. I think it looks great. And sometimes you need that mindless action fun, and if anybody's seen John Wick or John Wick 2, they know that that's exactly what it is. At the Music Hall, Wakefield will be playing by director Robin Swicord. It focuses on Howard Wakefield, a New York City lawyer who hides out in the attic of his home for weeks, coming out in the daytime when his family's gone to shower and eat. His withdrawal leads him to examine his life, and he rationalizes that he has not abandoned his family because he is still in the house. When a former boyfriend re-enters his wife's life, he realizes that he may not be able to return to the life he has abandoned. Starring Bryan Cranston, I always think his films are worth seeing, and as always, as I've said multiple times before, I love supporting female-directed independent films. This is one of them. It's been rather under the radar, and it's really neat that the Music Hall will be playing it throughout the weekend. In TV news, I didn't talk about the first episode of Game of Thrones. I feel really silly about that because I had a lot to complain about, mainly. I thought it was a good episode, but essentially I was just going off on rants about Ed Sheeran's involvement, which I just thought was as close to a jump the shark moment as Game of Thrones will ever have. Luckily, episode 2 really, truly redeemed itself. Some of the highlights, spoiler alert for anybody who's not seen it yet. I thought Arya's plotline was beautiful, and it showed that she can still be humanized and that she's not just a killer spy at this point. You know, she still has humanity to her. She still has morals. And the idea of home, in the sense that she remembers it, is still enough to kind of bring her back from the brink. And I thought that was really emotionally potent. Daenerys and Jon even mentioning each other's names is still so weird for somebody who read 5 books and has gone through 7 seasons with the two essentially existing on completely different fields. I thought the ending battle was remarkably well done, despite the kind of haphazard way it was shot to kind of convey the chaos of the moment. I understand that some people didn't like it, and I understand that they shot it at night to kind of hide some of the technical slips, probably so that they can spend more in the later end of the season on bigger battles like they've been known to do in the past. But I still thought it was really excruciating to watch. On the one hand, it was a brutal fight, but I thought it was really exciting as well. And then, of course, I am really sick of gross out humor regarding Sam's storyline, and I don't know how much more of it I can handle. This week, the Sam and Jorah plot had me actually closing my eyes, covering my ears, and singing instead of just muting it because I think logically. But I thought it was a really great episode. I'm really excited for next week. I can't believe we're essentially coming towards almost the halfway mark already when there's only 7 episodes in the season. That's really stressful to me for how long we've waited, but I'm sure it's just going to continue to get better and better, and I'm really curious to hear what everybody's thoughts are so far. And then lastly, I want to talk about Casual because the last episode of its 3rd season airs next week, and it's quietly been its best season so far and also one of the best series on TV this year. And it gets very little notice. And I think that's because people are kind of sick of seeing these stories of upper class privilege and their angst. I think people are just kind of getting tired of seeing that kind of similar storyline play out. But in this case, they really are diving deep onto the internal struggles and the internal battles that they go through. And, you know, they're all narcissistic jerks, but you kind of understand why. Or if you don't understand why, you can sympathize with certain aspects of the characters. And Michaela Watkins, Tommy Dewey, and Tara Lynn Barr are doing extraordinary work, and it should be noticed next year. Now, lastly, I'm going to tease, I have seen Detroit, Catherine Bigelow's latest film about the Detroit riots and the Algiers Motel incident, and it is as powerful and infuriating and as beautifully shot as you might imagine. John Boyega is remarkable, and so is Will Poulter. I'm going to talk about this at greater length next week, but it will be going up against The Dark Tower, the Stephen King adaptation. And I want this one to be in the forefront of people's minds because I'm worried it's going to kind of slip under the radar against something a little bit more showier. And again, it's about supporting female directors. It's about supporting stories that are real and honest with up-and-coming casts and diverse casts. And I just think this is going to be one that's going to be on a must-watch list for the end of the year. If you've loved Zero Dark Thirty, if you loved The Hurt Locker, you understand the type of filmography and the kind of prowess that Catherine Bigelow brings to the screen. And Detroit is just as good as anything she's ever done. And again, you'll just feel angry sitting through it, but it's important and, again, immensely powerful. So again, more on that next week. You can follow me at Allison AJ on Twitter or listen here at edgeradio.com.